Good morning, friends. Excited to continue our Building Faith at Home sermon series today. God's Word in places like Deuteronomy chapter 6, Psalm 78, Ephesians 5 and 6 shows that home is an important place of spiritual nurture and mission. So building faith at home is one of our church's values. We want all our homes, living with others or alone, married or not married, kids or no kids, to be loving, Jesus-centered homes. And so we've been talking about the amazing truth that every Jesus follower is an ambassador. In other words, we represent Jesus to others. We saw it in our memory verse this morning, that we're ambassadors. Now, a government ambassador is a representative in a foreign land, seeking good relationships with the local people and to speak on behalf of their home country. And if your home has any Christians, it is an ambassador's home. We have the privilege of representing Jesus, inviting our friends to join us as part of the worldwide eternal family of God. What a privilege. So Pastor Dave kicked off our series by sharing some ways that our homes can represent Jesus, ambassadors outward, representing Jesus to our neighbor next door, at school, at work, as so many of you faithfully do. And sometimes we even get to represent Jesus around the world. This morning, Chappie Dave, one of the members of our church family here, is in the Dominican Republic. And as Landry mentioned, we've got a team of five in Chile. So what a blessing. Manuel, he is our Spanish ministry pastor. He describes his team's purpose over there in this way, saying that their purpose is to lift up the name of Jesus, advancing the kingdom of God and walking firm in our calling, to bring lasting hope, spreading the love of God through conversations of hope, creative music, and compassion. The harvest is coming. Amen. So then, that's what we talked about the first Sunday, and then last Sunday, we talked about how our homes must know our King if we are to represent Jesus well. But we've got to be in conversation with Him, listening to His Word, the Bible, and responding with our words, prayer. Ambassadors upward, conversing with our King. And so today is about being ambassadors inward, representing Jesus in our homes. And we'll focus on parents representing Jesus to their kids this morning, but even if you have no plans to parent or if you've not yet met Jesus, God's Word will speak to you this morning as well. So as we begin, why don't we ask God to help us all take a next step with Him as His ambassadors. Father, we do thank You that we can come here this morning and worship You. We thank You for the friends among us who don't yet know You. And we ask for all of us that as Your Spirit works, You would help us to take a next step with You. And we pray for the team representing You in Chile, for Chappie Dave in the Dominican Republic, that they would represent You well today. We pray for our youth as they're about to head to Camp Eagle, where they'll grow as Your ambassadors. And all these things abroad as well as here this morning, we need Your help desperately, and so we pray that Your Spirit would work powerfully in our midst to Your glory, Lord. Amen. So if you've got a Bible, I invite you to open to the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. If you're new to reading the Bible, the big numbers you see there in the Bible are the chapter numbers, and the smaller numbers are the verse numbers. And 2 Corinthians, the book, is written by a major church leader, a guy named Paul, to the ancient city or the ancient church in the city of Corinth, an ancient city that's in modern-day Greece. And this church in Corinth, back about 2,000 years ago, was no model church. They had struggles and sin issues. They were the kind of church that would show you more not what not to do than what to do. And so the Corinthians, those struggling Corinthians, and us today in our messiness and our struggles, we need to remember the resources and calling that we have as Jesus' ambassadors. And so the Apostle Paul does that here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I invite you to follow along in your Bible or on the screen as I read, starting in verse 14. Which says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Now, if you're a parent, you know that parenting includes incredible blessings, but that it's not for the faint of heart. Parents face really hard things, and as we are ambassadors in hard places, it helps to remember how Jesus richly resources us in this messiness. And if you don't yet know Jesus, I'm so glad you're here this morning, too, to hear about what God's Son wants to be in your life. I invite you to look back with me at verse 14. Here we remember that Jesus loved us enough to die for us, a compelling love. Jesus chose to take on humanity and experience the hardships of our sin-stained world, even choosing to be nailed to a cross and take the wrath we deserve for all our sins. Verse 14 tells us the good news that one, that is Jesus, died for all. And when you come to Lord Jesus, trusting that he died for your sins and rose from the dead, verse 17 says, you become a new creation in Christ. So parents, as you face things like lost sleep, potty accidents, temper tantrums, unique needs, unending bills, troubles at school, sibling rivalry, bullies, a lack of appreciation, injuries, smart aleck comments, regrets, addictions, illnesses, an overwhelming to-do list, your children's rebellion, you know, just to name a few of the challenges. Let's also pause and just remember how our King has made us new creations in Christ. That as verse 15 says, Jesus rose from the dead, displaying his victory over sin and death. That is, verses 18 and 19 say, our sins no longer counted against us. Jesus solving our biggest problems. Our once utterly broken relationship with God now healed because Jesus acted on our behalf. Parents, we are new creations in Christ. God's Spirit in us, helping us to know and to represent him. And it's a sacred calling. Listen to how verses 18 through 20 describe it. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So in these verses, Paul is not just talking about himself as a big-time church leader. No, he says God gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that we are Christ's ambassadors. The messed up Corinthians, and us parents in our messiness, we represent Jesus. As I talk with Christian parents, I see healthy reflection on how we can better represent Jesus and godly sorrow for ways we've hurt our children. But I think I also see some unhealthy guilt, even condemnation, some of which is not even about sin issues. Guilt's over things like feeling we didn't breastfeed long enough. So when we mess up as parents, and we've all failed in some ways, and also when we're just being too hard on ourselves, let's receive the good news. It says it right there in verse 19. God's not counting people's sins against them. God's not counting your parenting sins against you. And just to be sure we're straight, we weren't called as ambassadors in the first place because we're so wonderful. We're called because Jesus is wonderful. Look at what verse 21 says God has done for us in Christ. It says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's the greatest exchange of all time. And when I struggle with parental guilt, I've got to see verse 21. That God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. Jesus treated as if he committed our sins, bearing the penalty we deserve on the cross. So Jesus took your sins. They're totally removed from you. As the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west. And Jesus also shares his righteousness with us. As verse 21 says, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So it's not just that your sins are removed and now you're in some sort of neutral state before God. No, you are connected with righteous Jesus. He lived his perfect life in your place on your behalf. So no matter our failures, we're washed clean. Today is a new day. Praise God for it. We can't change our past, but we can receive by grace that our identity is not divorced dad who doesn't live with his kids or mom struggling with an addiction or parents who just doesn't feel like they're measuring up. The devil would love for us to stay in that place of condemnation. But Jesus took our sin. And in its place, he shares his righteousness with us. Praise God for it. By his grace, we can start new patterns with our kids today. You could start by apologizing to God and your kids. And then seek God's help in growing as an ambassador. All the while marveling at how God is not counting your sins against you. And how we share Christ's righteousness, and how God gave us this ministry as his ambassadors. God's word says it to us in verse 20. We are Jesus' ambassadors. And your kids and your grandkids really need you to represent Jesus. And one way you do that is by giving them a front row seat to how much you need God's grace. And how his grace is changing you. And if your kids have not yet trusted in Christ, you get to invite them to be reconciled to God. If you'd like help sharing the good news of Jesus with a kid you love, we've got a resource for you out in the foyer. It's a Big Thoughts for Little Thinkers, The Gospel. It's a nice little book by Joey Allen, and it's geared for kids ages 4 to 7. So if you've got a kid around that age range or grandkid, take a free copy and share the greatest news of all time. And if you're not sure this morning if you understand the gospel yourself, this good news of Jesus I'm talking about, I invite you as well to please take a copy. Joey Allen explains it more clearly than I do. He explains the gospel simply in sentences a child or a English learner can understand. And it has Bible verses as well in the book to point you to the scriptures. So if you'd like help understanding the gospel, please take one as our gift to you. And I'd love to hear what you think of it after you read it. And parents, even once your child trusts in Jesus, they still need you to represent Jesus to them. And like an ambassador to a country, we communicate about the one that we serve. The American ambassador to Greece is talking with the Greek governments. The look on his or her face communicates something. The words communicate something. The tone of voice, and so on. It all communicates about America because the ambassador is the physical representative of America there in Greece. And parents, You are Jesus's physical representative in your home. You are the look on his face to your kids, the tone of his voice, the touch of his hand. I heard pastor and author Paul Tripp describe this at a parenting conference, that as Jesus's ambassadors in everything we do with our kids, we are to represent Jesus's message, methods, and character, to be a beautiful picture of him. So to give an example, when it's late and one of my kids disobeys, am I more concerned that they're breaking God's law or making things inconvenient for me? Is my attitude more, I can't believe you did that, or I get how you messed up here because I mess up too? Is my discipline more about trying to control my child through fear, manipulation with rewards, or trying to help my child see their need for God's grace and power and walk in his ways? Thinking less about what my kids better do for me if they know what's good for them, and more about what God wants to do for them in each moment, even the ones of disobedience. So one tool Paul Tripp shares with parents to help kids see what's in their hearts and their need for your parenting and God's grace is a set of questions. Tripp came up with the questions after his boys were arguing about toys, and he realized he needed something better than, well, who had it first? Tripp came to that realization one morning, watching one of his sons touch every toy in the playroom and then declare he had them all first. So Tripp came up with five questions to help his kids see what's in their hearts and hopefully from that their need for help and grace. The questions will be on the screen. And he shared about the questions using an example of when his two boys were young and one son hit the other for taking his truck. So to help his child see what's in his heart, Tripp first asks, what was going on? So Tripp starts by trying to understand what took place and to listen to his child. And his young boy said, he took my truck. And then Tripp asked, well, what were you feeling and thinking as it was happening? With this question, he's inviting his child to look inside. And his son said, mad. And then Tripp asks, well, what did you do in response? And with this question, he's trying to help his son start to see how his actions flow from what was going on in his heart. And so his son says, I hit my brother. And then Tripp asks, well, why did you do it? With this question, he's trying to help his child see what he was trying to accomplish. And his little boy said, my truck. And then Tripp asks, well, what was the result? Here he's trying to help his child own the harvest of his actions. And his child says, trouble. Now you can use these questions or something else, but the point is to try to help your child see what's going on in his heart. And by God's grace, through these conversations, your child grows in awareness of their need for your help in guiding them, and much more importantly, their need for God's grace and help in their lives. In my good parenting moments, I at least kind of like how Paul Tripp frames these times when our children are disobeying in front of us. Tripp calls them moments of grace, opportunities from God to be his ambassador, God using you as a tool of transformation and rescue in your child's life. Now, you don't have to parent for long to know how hard this is. That's why we've got to keep returning to verses 14 and 15, which say, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. The love of Jesus is essential to being his ambassador. It's why we've been talking about the incredible ways that Jesus resources us. His sacrificial love compels us, as verse 14 says, helping us to live the hard truth of verse 15, that we are to no longer live for ourselves as parents, but instead for our gracious Savior. He'll help us live out this calling as we look to him, his word, and his people for help. The stakes are high as ambassadors. Of course, we can't ensure our child walks with God. We talked about that last Sunday, that we know adults who grew up in loving Christian families who currently deny Jesus. And we pray for them and love them and remember their story isn't over yet. And we also know adults with no faith background who now follow Jesus. So we all depend on God to work in our kids. And yet God still calls parents to be ambassadors at home, working powerfully through our imperfect efforts. I recently heard a message from Pastor Matt Chandler that shows the high stakes of our calling as ambassadors. Chandler pastors a megachurch in the Dallas area that is partnered with Fuller Seminary's Youth Institute. And so Chandler is learning about Fuller's Youth Institute's most recent research on young people and faith, and shared it recently in a sermon. It didn't make me all warm and fuzzy inside, but I need reminders in the busyness of life of the importance of helping my kids see what's most important. So here's what Chandler said. Here's what we learned. There's data now to back this up. Kids are not being secularized in college. They're being secularized at home before they're sent to college by well-meaning Christian parents who can't tease out the value balance between sports, activities, and the gathering of the people of God. They just get disoriented by it. I'm watching it play out in my children's peers. I can use my son as an example. My son loves football. He loves basketball. He loves it. He is disciplined around it. He is eager for it. Sometimes he doesn't want to come to church. But guess he doesn't get to decide that. Read. Do you know why? Because he's 12. I don't let him choose what he gets to eat, or he'd eat terribly. I don't let him choose what time he can go to bed. I don't let him handle a firearm whenever he wants to. Do you know why? Because I'm dad, and I love him. I have a long view for his life that at 12 he can't possibly fathom. And what ends up happening, I'm telling you, I have a front row seat to this right now because of the age of my kids. I just hear these nonsensical things from moms and dads, like, oh, you know, just trying to get them out of bed on Sunday morning is just like a whipping. I just want to kind of give them the freedom to figure this stuff out. Would you do that in any other area of your kid's life? Can you imagine going and trying to wake up your child for school at whatever time you have to wake them up, and them just going, I'm not feeling it, I'm not going, and you saying, oh, okay, well, never mind then. Listen, I'm for you, I'm not against you, I'm not trying to shame you. To parent this way, this is what's true about the data. Half-hearted obedience to Jesus Christ in this generation leads to full rebellion against him in the next. Now I'm dedicated to, as best I can, and I can't control it, helping my children see and understand what is of supreme value and what's a good gift. Football is a good gift. Basketball is a good gift. Softball, soccer, bands are good gifts, but terrible gods. They're terrible gods. Helping my children see and understand what is of supreme value and what's a good gift. We represent Jesus to our kids, so let's keep it up and keep growing. Who you are in Jesus and what you do matters to your kids. It matters that you're there for them. Extend grace to them. Listen to them. Pray with them. Love them. Teach and discipline them in godly ways. Apologize to them. Receive God's grace and extend it to them. And help your kids see what is of supreme value, and what's just a good gift. Thankfully, Jesus resources us for this sacred calling. Our Savior living for us, dying for us, rising from the dead to make us new creations in Him, adopted by God. Again, our parenting sins no longer counted against us, counted as righteous through Jesus' work, gifted with His Word and His Spirit to help us no longer live for ourselves, ambassadors not in our strength, but in weakness, living in dependence on God's power, crying out for His help in our need. And God also gifts us with His people. Stephanie and I can't represent Jesus to our kids alone. So let's be a church where we support our parents' ambassadors, speaking a needed word of encouragement, praying with a parent for their struggling child, helping everyone's kids feel God's love here, a place where experienced parents humbly share what they've learned when that advice is desired, a place that remembers and celebrates that Jesus forgives all our parenting sins, a place where we believe that God can do great things through parents and kids as we depend on Him. What a lifeline we can be to each other. No parents alone. Not only impacting the parents and kids of this church, but all of the people all our kids will impact over their entire lifetimes as they serve as Jesus' ambassadors. Godly impact with all the other kids they grow up with, and the countless people they'll touch as adults over a lifetime at work, with all the friends they'll ever have, with all the people they'll live next door to, the church they serve, if they get married and have kids, the godly impact on their spouse and kids and grandkids. Our kids have so much capacity for influence over their lifetimes. So let's be the kind of Jesus ambassadors that they need, showing them what's of supreme value and what's just a good gift. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank You once again for being our loving Heavenly Father, that You love us enough to send Your Son on our behalf. We pray that for those here who don't yet know You as Father, that by the work of Your Spirit, they would come to Jesus in faith this morning. And God, for all of us here who do know You, we thank You that our sins are no longer counted against us, that there's no need for guilt or condemnation. And so if anybody's feeling those things, I pray by the work of Your Spirit, they would sense Your love, Your forgiveness, Your righteousness flowing, and that from that they would be inspired to be the kind of ambassadors that their kids and grandkids and just all the kids that they're all of us are around need. We ask that You would do it all to Your glory, Lord, and we ask it all in Your name, Jesus. Amen.